Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely pleased that you are here. It is good to come together for the purpose of co-creating. Do you agree?
Yes.
Co-creating at its best, yes? You come, you bring your magnificent bodies. You come with your inner beings, yes? Well, your inner beings come whether you come with them or not. Depending on how good you are feeling, you may very well be very well connected with that which you really are. Or you may be in a bad mood and you may have come sort of vibrationally separate from your own inner being, but not to worry, your inner being will catch up with you as the day unfolds. Better said, you will catch up with your inner being because you are an extension of that, you know that, yes? You are an extension of source energy. You are vibrational, so is that non-physical part of you. Most of our physical humans, not necessarily those like you who are here, but most humans, do not realize that they are vibrational beings. You are so good at interpreting the vibrational format of your time-space reality that you have come to all of these definitions of what reality is, and you've come to see yourselves more as the material that has culminated than the vibration that is behind it. But still, the basis of that which you are is vibrational. And when you begin to feel yourselves as vibrational beings, and you begin to tend to your vibrational nature first, then, oh, the manifestation of your experience is dramatically improved. By tending to the vibrational nature, what we really mean is paying attention to the guidance about that. And the guidance about your vibrational nature is in your solar plexus, you might say. It is what you call emotion. So the way you feel emotionally is an indicator of how you're doing vibrationally. And the guidance is based upon the relativity or the relationship between who you are in this moment by virtue of what you're giving your attention to and who you are from source energy standpoint in terms of who you are as source energy. So those two reference points as they are interacting with one another are what give you your emotional feedback. Does that make sense to you? Jerry and Esther have navigational systems in their vehicles, and the navigational systems work on the same principle. The system knows where they are, and then they program in where they want to be. And then the guidance is formulated based upon getting them from where they are to where they want to be. Magellan never says to Jerry and Esther, "Where have you been?" Magellan never says, "Well, I'm not going to be able to tell you how to get from where you are to where you want to be unless you give me great detail about where you have been, ever, or especially lately," because it is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. All that matters is the relationship between where you are and where you want to be. So this is the way your emotional guidance system is established. The source energy from which you come is a frequency of pure positive energy. There is no resistance in that frequency. And then when you give your attention to something, as you give your attention to it, you activate a vibration within you because of whatever you're giving your attention to. And now the frequency of who you really are or your source is compared to the frequency of what you've got activated right here and right now. And that combination of frequencies is what gives you your emotional feedback. You see how it works? So for example, if you were focused upon yourself and you were feeling appreciation for who you are, the feedback that you would get as these two frequencies are measured would feel like joy. It would feel like appreciation. It would feel wonderful to you because in your appreciation of yourself, you would have activated a vibration that matches the vibration of your source. In other words, your source adores you. When you love you, you get good feedback. But if you find fault with yourself or with someone else, the feedback that you get doesn't feel so good, does it? It feels like what? Feels like resentment. It feels like guilt, or it feels like blame. It feels like, there are a lot of different words to describe it, it feels less good than it could feel if you would choose a thought that feels better. You do a good job of finding words that match the way you feel. And as civilizations who have evolved with one another, you have become very proficient. We are very impressed with the way you've matched feelings with words. Usually, in a group discussion like this, as we would describe some situation, you would, as we ask you, what emotion label best describes the way that feels, you would come up with very similar words, because you are utilizing your guidance system much more effectively than you have any idea that you are. You have known about emotions, you have known about the way you feel from the moment you came forth into this body. It is the most significant basis of your point of attraction. It is the most significant basis of your identification of life and of where you are relative to life. And the reason that we know that so emphatically is because when you came forth into this body, that guidance system was the most important aspect of coming forth to you, because you knew that you were source energy in non-resistance, and that you were coming into an environment of tremendous variety and contrast. And you knew that you could rely on the way you felt as your significant, in fact, as your only guidance to let you know the direction of your thought or of your word or of your deed or action. And so here you are some time later, and many of you, while you still are feeling emotions, it is a rare one of you who will selfishly, in the way you intended as you came forth into this body, it is a rare one of you who will selfishly utilize your own personal guidance system in making your choices. One of the primary premises of understanding this gathering of Art of Allowing and coming into alignment with your own emotions is that you must make a decision pretty early on in your decision to create your own reality, that you will use your guidance system, and that you will use it primarily first, and that all other influences, all other opinions must take a lesser seat in relationship to your own guidance system. Because if you are using any other guidance other than the relativity between where you are and where you want to be, you will be upside down and all around. You will not know which way to go. As Jerry and Esther travel from Phoenix to San Diego is their goal, 400 miles west, they never worry about getting there because they know it is a simple journey. They don't get at the halfway point of Yuma, Arizona, and get all upset because they're not yet in San Diego. And because they're upset, get all disoriented, and then turn around and go back to Phoenix. In other words, the journey between Phoenix and San Diego is so simple and so easy to understand that they know they just have to get on their way and keep a reasonable speed and keep going until they get there. And they will get there. And they are so sure, because this journey is so quantifiable, that they don't fret or worry or fuss, even though most of the 400 miles, they are not really where they want to be. We see so many of you on what could be absolutely simple, quantifiable journeys, just like the one we've described. We see the journey from a disease that has been labeled by physicians as incurable. We see the journey from that diagnosis to perfect wellness in as simple a way as we see Jerry and Esther traveling from Phoenix to San Diego. It is not a more difficult journey. We see the journey that you may be taking from not nearly enough money, mounting debts that are taking your breath away, to all of the money that you would need to fulfill every intention that you have as it is hatched within you. In other words, it is our knowing that every journey that you embark on, no matter where you are in relationship to where you want to be, is an extremely simple journey because you have the resources of the universe at your fingertips. You cannot fail. But if you go from Phoenix to Yuma, and then you turn around and go back to Phoenix, and then you go to Yuma, and then you turn around and go back to Phoenix, and then you go to Yuma, and you turn around and go back to Phoenix, and then you go to Yuma, and then you're tired now, but you turn around and go back to Phoenix, and then you go back to Yuma, and then you complain, oh, it is a long, incurable journey to San Diego. And we say, no, it isn't. You just keep turning around and going in opposition. And that is all that anybody ever does who is sick and not getting well. They're headed toward wellness, and then they freak out and take another test and go back to Phoenix. And then they're headed toward wellness, and then they take score of where they are, and then they freak out and they go back to Phoenix. We're not kidding you. It is not possible for you to have lived something in your contrasting environment which gives you an idea of what you prefer instead. It is not possible for you to not get where you want to go if you will keep headed in the direction of where you want to go. But since you're not paying attention to your own guidance system, since you're listening to that one and that one and that one and that one and that one, who have no business in your vibrational relativity between where you are and where you want to be, because they cannot possibly understand where you are in relationship to where you want to be. Your guidance system is your guidance system, and they're not wired into it. That would be like having some equipment with some monitors and have all the feedback that you need. He has an earpiece in his ear and a mechanism so that they can communicate with one another, and they're both looking at each other's pictures. That would be like somebody over there deciding that they could guide them more efficiently, even though they're not wired into any of the equipment. And we say, you can have an opinion, but you're not wired into the equipment. You don't know as much as those who are wired into the equipment know. And you don't know what the intentions are. You don't know what the agreements are. You don't know what has happened in past seminars that has made them come to the conclusions that they have come to. Someone says, please move the light. You don't know how precisely the lights have been staged after so many seminars and watching so much footage to see when the light is just right. No one outside of you could possibly give you accurate feedback, only you, your emotional guidance system. But if you have not paid attention, if you're not knowing how to use it, if you have lost sight of the fact that if it feels good, it's better for you than if it feels bad. So your emotional guidance system, we have written out, and we will describe to you an emotional scale. And of course it is inadequate because there are many more stops along this emotional scale than we could ever begin to describe to you. But on one end of the emotional scale is the emotion that feels very good to you. You might call it love or joy or appreciation or bliss. On the other end of the scale are emotions that you would say don't feel so good. These emotions feel like despair or depression or fear. And on the end of the emotional scale that feels good to you, there is a perception by you of freedom and empowerment, yes? And on the end of the scale that does not feel so good to you, it feels like fear or despair or depression, there is a perception by you of loss of power, of loss of freedom, yes? Can you feel that when you feel fear, that the basis of the fear is your belief, at least in the moment, that something could happen to you or someone you love, which means it's happening to you in the sense that you may feel a way that will feel awful to you and you can't control it? Isn't that what the basic fear is? Something's going to happen that's going to make me feel awful and I won't be able to do anything that will soothe the awful feeling. So the feeling of fear is an indicator that says what you're focused upon here is so contrary to the way your inner being or your source or that which you call God is looking at this situation, that you have affected a vibration within you that is so different from that vibration that there is a vibrational resistance between you and you. So then people say, well, then I need to do something about this thing that is scaring me. Maybe we need to round all those scary people up and we say good luck on that one. Because the scary people are just those who want things differently than you do, and they're not wired into your system, you know. They can't get into your experience if you don't vibrationally activate something within you that invites them in. But let's say that you are like so many that don't know that, and so you look out into the world and you see something that frightens you, and then you conclude, we see you do it all the time, it never works, generation after generation, you conclude, we need to get rid of those frightening things. So you build more jails, you make bigger bombs, you get more enforcement in place until civilization after civilization, that theory falls of its own economic weight. Because you do not have the resources as a person or as a society to control all of the conditions that you think you need to control in order to allay all of the things that frighten you. It never works. It's a conditional love that is contrary to the laws of the universe. Instead, all you got to do is find a way of you personally, you don't even have to get anybody else in on it, although people tend to follow those who feel good. All you got to do is find a way of focusing you so that you feel good when you focus. And it might mean taking the bull by the horns on some subject and literally walking yourself up the emotional scale. You can't jump up the emotional scale. You can't set your radio dial on 6:30 a.m. and hear what's being broadcast on 98.7 FM. You can't hear it. The frequencies are different. It doesn't match up. But you can, from your place of despair, find a thought that feels a little better. You know, that life-giving, fresh of breath air that revenge brings. Just checking you out. How do you feel about revenge? It's all right if I've got it, just don't let anybody else get it. Revenge feels frightening because revenge feels like somebody being so upset that they are determined to take their power back. And when someone is that upset and that determined, they might do something irrational. And we say, don't worry, they can't get into your experience unless you're pushing against them in some way, unless you're giving your attention to them in some way. Do you know that when you look at something and you applaud it or say yes to it, that you include it in your vibration? But in the same way, when you look at something that you would vote vehemently against, you shout no at it, you still are including it in your vibration. There is no such thing as no in a vibrational universe, because attention to anything is an activation of it within you, which is an invitation of it. Now don't worry about it, because the stream of well-being that is the basis of who you are is so predominant. And you have enormous leeway. You can give your attention to quite a few things. You can give your attention to anything and everything without it immediately adversely affecting you, or to something wonderful without it immediately positively affecting you. In other words, you don't change your vibrational frequency and your vibrational countenance and your vibrational point of attraction instantly. You do it over a long period of time. As you evaluate the contrast of your time-space reality, you are continually launching rockets into your vibrational future. And those rockets begin to coalesce together, and they become your future experience. But even as you are launching rockets, in any moment in time, you must become a vibrational match to the rocket that you have launched. We like to say all of the things that you've been asking for are held for you out here in vibrational escrow, just waiting for you to become a vibrational match to them. So you could ask yourself in any moment, based upon the way I feel right now, I feel joyful. What does this mean? This means that I am moving steadily toward the manifestation of the joyful things that I've launched into my vibrational future. Oh, but Abraham, I'm feeling pretty ornery. What does this mean? This means that I am systematically moving toward things that I'm not going to like when they manifest. The way you feel is your indication of what you're moving toward. And eventually, as you hold a thought, a belief pattern, that's all a belief is, isn't it? Is a thought you keep thinking. As you continue to beat the drum of something, you continue to activate it within you. And in time, there is a tipping point. you know, the teeter-totter that is on the fulcrum, and for a while it doesn't move, 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 and then there is a tipping point. You can even balance it so that you're like right about here. I'm not moving toward what I want, but I'm not really moving away from what I want. And then one more step, it tips and manifestation occurs. It's not exactly like the tipping of a teeter-totter. It is that 99% of your creations are completed vibrationally before you see physical evidence. So you are on the brink of many things. That's why you say to us, it just came out of the blue. And we say, hardly. You've been working on that one for about 25 years. In other words, you just can't complain about things day after day, year after year. You can't join those groups and get those magazines. You cannot be part of that thought process without becoming a very strong attractor of whatever it is that you're activating. People say to us quite frequently, Abraham, I think I should be an informed citizen. I think that I should scour the world, or at least what's affecting me in this nation, and I should become an activist. I should know what's happening out there. I should focus upon the truth and have an opinion about it. And we say, we don't disagree. You live in this world and you want to be informed, you want to be aware. But if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would not use the criteria of is it true or not as the criteria of whether I give it my attention. Because there are many things that are out there that are true that you would like to include in your experience, and there are many things that are out there that are true that you do not want to include in your experience. So why not be a little pickier and say, I give my attention to the things that I feel good about. I give my attention to the things that, when I focus upon them, cause an activation of vibrational agreement between me and me. I like my inner being to join me in my meals and join me in my appreciation of others. I like my inner being to be present with me when I'm driving down the freeways of this beautiful world. I want my inner being to be fully present within me. And we say, then choose increasingly good feeling subjects and topics and ways of looking at things. And as you gradually improve your mood or attitude, you will open your vibrational vessel to the fullness of who you are. And you will be the full energy being that you've come forth to be. And people who see you will say, that is an amazing person. I always feel good when I'm with that person. People who see you will say, you always seem to thrive. People who see you will say, it seems to me that you barely offer an idea of something that you would like to experience, and it just effortlessly flows into your experience. People who watch you in your full connection will say, I want some of that too. And then you will say to them, well, the secret to my success is I care about how I feel. And when I find a thought that doesn't feel so good, I don't beat up on myself for my negative thought. Instead, I try to improve the vibrational content of the thought. I say to myself, is there a way that I could focus upon this which feels a little better? On any subject that is important to you, you can begin to move up the emotional scale. You've been trying to jump up the emotional scale, which takes huge effort and doesn't work, and that's why you don't realize how easy it is. Joseph Campbell says, follow your bliss. And we think those are the best words that have ever been coined by a human tongue. But we also know that if you're in despair, you can't even get a whiff of bliss. And when you try to get to bliss from despair, or even from revenge, or even from anger, you can't make the jump. And then you spin around in the desert for a while and you end up back where you started, and then you say, this doesn't work for me. And we are here to say to you, it does work for you. It works for all of you. All you have to do is find vibrational alignment with thoughts that feel good. And when you find vibrational alignment with thoughts that feel good and practice them, what will begin to happen is those thoughts will become easier and easier and easier for you. Your environment is like a well-stocked kitchen with every ingredient imaginable for the making of magnificent pies or anything that you want to make. And you say, oh, but Abraham, I do not want that Tabasco sauce in my pie. So please have it removed from the kitchen. And we say, just don't put it in your pie. And you say, but what if it gets in my pie? And we say, it can't get in your pie unless you put it in your pie. And you say, well, I'm worried that it's in the kitchen, so it may end up in my pie. I would feel a lot better if you would just take it out of the kitchen altogether. And we say, it can't get in your pie unless you put it in your pie. And you say, some of it's getting in my pie. How's it getting in my pie? And we say, you're putting it in your pie. And you say, I'm not putting it in my pie. I would not put this thing that I do not want in my pie. How's it getting in my pie? And we say, you're thinking about it. You're talking about it. You're activating the vibration of it. You're putting it in your pie. No, I'm not. You say, look at me. My hands are behind my back. I am not putting it in my pie. And we say, you don't put things in your pie with action only. You put things in your pie with your attention to it. You put things in your pie by watching television programs about it. You give your attention to it, you activate a vibration, and it gets in your pie. And you say, I know, but I didn't mean to do it, so please take it out of the kitchen. I would just feel so much better if I didn't have to look at it. And we say, you don't have to look at it. Don't look at it. Ignore it. But it's in the kitchen, you say. You get our point. We understand how humans come to this place of believing that the things that they don't personally want to experience should be eradicated from the planet. But there is no such thing as no. And when you push against something that you do not want, there's a war against drugs, a war against AIDS, a war against cancer, a war against teenage pregnancy, a war against terrorism, a war against poverty, a war against terrorism, a war against poverty, a war against terrorism. Did we mention that there's a war against terrorism? And as you push against these things you do not want, you get them in your pie. And then you say, well, we need a bigger enforcement to keep them out of the kitchen. And we say, you cannot remove anything that has been created. It's not your job. You cannot police an environment and remove things from the environment any more than you could say, I'm in a room, and right now in this room there are radio signals, amazing amounts of signals moving through this airspace. Television signals, radio signals, all kinds of different frequencies for all kinds of different reasons. And you say, I want them all removed from this airspace. And we say, why? And you say, because I don't like them there. And we say, but if you do not have a receiver that's picking them up, they are irrelevant to you. When you tune your receiver so that you tune out the frequencies that are not wanted, that's what your radio receiver does. It just selectively sifts and settles on a frequency, and then you receive the result of that frequency matching. And that's what everything in our vibrational universe and everything in your physical environment is about. It's all about vibrational matching. And you are the tuner receiver. So, as you care about how you feel and you tune your dial to better and better feeling frequencies, then anything that doesn't match those good feeling frequencies cannot come into your experience. So you're zigging and zagging and zigging and zagging. You could live on the same street. You could live in the same house with someone, and you could be living two very different experiences. Once you utilize your ability to focus your mind into directions that cause you to match up only with the frequencies that match the things that you're wanting to receive. Makes perfect sense to us. Does it to you? And so theoretically, you say, yes, this makes perfect sense. But how do I stand in the middle of something I don't want and not notice it? And we say, by noticing something else, or by making the best of what is. Do you know that if you could stand right where you are and make peace with where you are on whatever subject is at hand, as you make peace with where you are, what you want has to flood into your experience. And this is why. As you are sorting through the contrast of your experience, you are launching continual preferences all day, every day. And those preferences are being held for you. They are yours. Until you, in your day-to-day offering of vibration, become a vibrational match to these frequencies that are being held for you in vibrational escrow. And you can tell by the way you feel whether you are getting closer to them or whether you're holding yourself apart from them. So as you deliberately take some subject where you know you're not where you want to be, and you deliberately make the best of it by trying to find increasingly better and better and better feeling ways of approaching the subject. You begin to vibrationally close the gap between where you are and where you want to be. And once you've done that for a while, 99% of it will come into alignment before you see the evidence of it. Then it will manifest into your experience. So it is accurate always to say that what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what's manifesting in your life experience always are vibrational matches. But we call that post-manifestational awareness. In other words, when you get something you don't want, you say, oh, well, I must have been offering a vibration that brought that. And we say, good to know, but a little late. And it's not late in the sense that you can't change it, because you can get to anywhere you want to be from wherever you are. But it's harder to change something once it's manifested, because now you can feel it, now you can see it, now others can see it, now it's more part of your vibration. Because, and this is another thing that we want you to try to get over, we'll help you here today, most of you give most of your vibrational offering in response to something that you're observing. It's a rare human who imagines more than you observe. It's a rare human who remembers more than you observe. And that's natural, isn't it? Because now is so powerful. Now is full of all this color and flavor and fragrance. Now is so big and in your face. But you must learn to selectively sift through what is now for the best feeling aspects of what is now in order to clean up your vibration so that your future can evolve in all ways from your now. If you're looking at what is, you're offering a vibration of what is. And law of attraction is matching the vibration that you're offering and giving you more of what is, which you are then observing. And then as you observe what is, you offer a vibration about what is, and law of attraction matches the signal and gives you more of what is. And so you say, nothing's changing for me. Different faces, different places, but my life continues to feel pretty much the same way. And we say, you have to make an effort to see things differently than you have been seeing them if you want things to change. You've got to care more about how you feel than about the details of what you're giving your attention to. You can't do things because you're obligated or committed. You've got to do things because they feel like the best thing for you to do. You can't go places because somebody else wants you to go. You've got to go places because it feels like a good idea for you to go. You can't call people on the telephone who always complain about the things that you've always complained about and affect your life in a positive way. You've got to call different people. You've got to talk about different things. You've got to remember different memories. You've got to conjure different things. You've got to change the way you are looking at things if you want the things that you're looking at to change. In other words, you cannot continue to give your attention to the same things that you've been giving your attention to and affect any change in your experience. That's not creation, that's regurgitation anyway. You are the creator of your own reality. And here you are with this unbelievable spread of possibilities, which you are honing into your images of what you want. And all day, every day, without even knowing that you're doing it, you're sending these vibrational preferences into your vibrational future, and they are being held for you in vibrational escrow. And this workshop is about you finally getting up to speed with the things that you want that you've been asking for. There are three steps to the creative process. The first step is you got to ask. Well, you do that all day, every day. That's what this contrast is doing. And that's what's causing the launching of those preferences. That's the asking. Whether you ever put words to it or not, all day, every day, you say, this would be better, 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 this would be better. Step two is source answers what you're asking. Now, we really want you to hear this. This is a point we have not been talking about very long, but it will clear up something that is confusing to many of you. When you ask, it is always answered. And what that means is, now we're going to give you the whole story here. It will be brief and easy for you to understand. When you are standing in any point in time and having an experience, and you are launching a rocket of desire, whether you consciously know that you have concluded this preference or not, you have, and Source knows it too. And Source, who understands who you are. Do you understand who you are? You are Source on the leading edge. You are not separate from Source. You are not here to catch up with Source. You are Source energy on the leading edge. You are Source emissaries, so to speak. You are Source astronauts, so to speak. You are Source out here on the leading edge beings. And so as you're out here honing the details of your experience, and you conclude personally, privately, selfishly, magnificently, that something would be better for you than something else, Source instantaneously. Oh, we want so much for you to hear the power of these words. Source instantaneously agrees. Do you understand that that's how the evolution of all species occurs? The one-celled amoeba in the ocean is having its experience and is concluding its personal preferences. And when a preference is born, Source agrees, and the universe expands because that consciousness has had that experience. So can you imagine the kind of creative edge you have as humans? When you are moving around through your contrast and you conclude something, whether you put words to it or not, Source agrees and the entire universe expands. Ah, so that's how come there are these two vibrational relativity points. In other words, there's what you've asked for and Source's agreement with it, and then there's what you think about it right here and now. So you say, as you go to the mailbox and you open your bills, or you don't even open them, you throw them on the table, you don't even want to open them, you know what's in them, and you have that feeling of overwhelmment that there's more bills than there is money to pay them. And in the middle of what feels like a negative experience to you, you launch a preference for more money, for an improved life experience, for a better flow of money in and out, in and out, in and out in your experience. You launched it in that moment when you threw the bills on the table and Source agreed. If you could hear Source, you would have heard the words, "Consider it done. We're with you." Here you are. Vibrationally miles apart. Wrong choice of words, but you get the point. You are vibrationally nowhere near in your despair or worry from your request and wish granted. Those are the two vibrational points of relativity that your emotional guidance system is giving you feedback about. Your discouragement means Source has granted your desire and is moving heaven and earth. Circumstances and events are coming into alignment, getting ready to give you the fulfillment, the manifestation of what you're asking for. But as long as you are in this vibration that you would describe as discouragement, you can't let it in. So step one is ask. You do it all the time. Step two is answer. Source is right there with it, even before it barely gets out of your brain. In other words, you barely have the experience of preference before it is done. Step three is what this gathering and every gathering that we teach is about. It's about you finding a way to get into vibrational alignment with what you're asking for. You got to believe what you're asking for or it can't come. You can't stand in an attitude of doubt or justification about why things have not been going better for you. You can't keep active in your vibration, your awareness of the absence of something you want, and let the presence of something that you want into your experience. The frequencies have got to match up. So we'll be talking here today about moving up the emotional scale, and what it really amounts to is find the best feeling thought that I can find on the subject in which I'm wanting to find movement. Not the best feeling thought I've ever thought or felt, not the best feeling thought that anybody has ever thought or felt, just the best feeling thought I can find right here and now. And the reason that we say that so emphatically is because law of attraction, while it is your very best friend, cannot give you feedback that is far from where you are. In other words, if you are feeling here in despair or discouragement, you don't have access to thoughts that are up here feeling bright and fluffy. You know that, don't you? When one of your friends who's a student or a teacher of deliberate creation comes to you and you're all bummed out and they say, "Don't you know you create your own reality? You've got to cheer up." Don't you want to say to them, "It's not possible that I create my own reality, or you would be gone." If I created my own reality, I wouldn't be putting up with all of this from you. If you are feeling wonderful and you've got a friend who's feeling awful, they can't hear you because you are on different vibrational frequencies. And it's not your job to go down and match their vibration, and it's not possible for them to match your vibration. So leave everybody alone. Teach by the clarity of your example. Don't try to drag your friends from the doldrums. Let them wallow there as long as they feel like wallowing there, and you just be as bright and shiny as you can be. And eventually, if they care about feeling good, they'll find their way out. But if you go meet them there, they'll take you down. They will. They'll convince you. They will say to you, "I didn't put it in my pie. I didn't put it in my pie. I don't know how it got in my pie, but I promise you I would never, ever, ever have put that in my pie. I would not have done it. Somebody else put it in my pie." And the more you say, "No, you put it in your pie," the more they'll say, "No, I didn't put it in my pie." And you say, "Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did." Till finally you say, "Well, maybe you didn't." Maybe you didn't put it in your pie, because I've got some in my pie now, too. And I don't think I put it in my pie either. Let's form a club. I'll bet there are others out there that have got this in their pies who don't want it in their pies either. We'll get the government to step in. But it takes a lot of money, so we'll have to get a lot of people to agree with us on this. And then before you know it, there are others joining, and pretty soon you're convinced that you're absolutely right. We say, you're always right. You are, you're always right. What you think is always truth. What you think will manifest and give you manifestational support every time. You cannot believe anything without making it true. But you've got a choice on the direction of your beliefs. And if we were standing in your physical shoes, as we often are, we would let our criteria be how it feels. And we would work all day, every day, to find the best way of saying this, the best way of saying this, the best way of approaching this, the best way of approaching this, the best way of remembering this person, the best way of remembering that person, the best way of approaching this. Esther watched the presidential debates. Can you believe it? And her excuse was, well, I thought maybe it might be interesting. And we would have thought after the first one, she would have known how the second one would feel. So sometimes you use criteria other than the way it feels. And you get to choose. We're just saying to you that you didn't plan it that way when you came into this body. When you came into this body, you said, I am who I am, and I will always be able to feel that aspect of who I am. And I'll be able to feel in every thought, in every moment, in every word, in every deed, I will be able to feel how close to being who I really am I'm being, or whether I have stepped off my path for a moment. Good. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important. No subject is off limits. You will notice a remarkable unfolding. Many of you will present questions that are on the minds of others, and we can feel your questions. They will all be addressed completely. What do you want to talk about? Some things.
I need clarification on the dark side.
There isn't any.
Okay. I go and study with amazing healers who tell me to say prayers of protection and to surround myself with white light. And I think, why should I do that? That's putting attention on the other side.
That's right.
Okay. Can you add anything to the dark side or anything?
No, without putting more attention on it.
Okay. That's good.
Good. We will say to you that there is only a stream of well-being. You don't walk into a room and look for a dark switch. Right. You don't expect to flip a switch and some inky, misty darkness will sift down and cover up the light. There's not a source of evil. But we understand, you see, every thought that has ever been thought still exists. Mm-hmm. And these thoughts are coalescing. So as the spin-off of man's worrisome, fearful thoughts occurs generation after generation, we would not say that those thoughts are non-existent. They are. And as they come together, there can be a pretty strong current or stream about them. And so if when you make a prayer and your prayer is for the intent of lining up with who you really are and what feels good, there's nothing wrong with a prayer like that. But if your prayer is protect me from evil and keep bad things away from me, in other words, it's not the words you use, it's the way you feel as you're using the words. And so there isn't anything wrong with establishing a statement of intent. Esther does it every time she comes to the podium ready for us to speak with you. She says, Abraham, I want to speak clearly your words. That's her intent. She wants to relax, clear her mind, connect with the vibration of that which she knows as Abraham, and allow that which is Abraham to be the dominant vibration within her. And so there is not anything wrong with making a clear statement of intent. And it is helpful to know that it can't get in your pie. Yes. People make a big deal about things that they do not understand. And don't be unhappy or uncomfortable with a world that sort of is, at this point, pushing harder against what they don't want than they are flowing with what they do want, you see. Yes.
Thank you.
I have a question about our awareness as creators. And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And it seems very deep for me. And so I'm going to try to get, if you could just help me explore this idea. And I guess the essence of the question is, the higher we are on the vibrational scale, are we more aware that we're generating our reality?
Usually, but the awareness may not be something that you would use the word awareness to describe. In other words, animals are very high on the vibrational scale. Rather than talking about highness or placement on the emotional scale, high vibration, low vibration, we think it is more beneficial to talk about the vibrational relationship between what I have launched for myself and where I am. And the reason that we want to go there is because the animals, the beasts of your planet, are not experiencing contrast in as definitive way as humans. So they are not launching rockets of desire that are anything like the human rockets of desires. But the relationship between the rockets of desires that they do launch and where they are on a moment-to-moment basis is much closer. So they are much more in vibrational sync with who they really are. And the reason that we went there immediately at the basis of this question is because we do not want to give this impression, and humans are eager to jump onto this impression, that there is this hierarchy and that there are angels or gods that are much higher frequencies than humans, because it's not like that. When you move from fear into anger, we are as pleased about that movement in your vibration as we are when you move from frustration into joy, because any movement is an improvement in the vibrational relationship. And something very important coming here. Your question has taken us into a new place, so give us a moment to give it to Esther, and she will give it to you in a reasonable manner. Each experience fosters something that is uniquely new. And to make a statement about one preference being higher on the vibrational scale than another preference is inaccurate. In other words, your personal preferences that are being born and your relationship to them is all that matters. And to try to figure out any relationship between your preferences or anybody else's is not possible and really a waste of time. Now, you didn't exactly take us there, but it was bubbling in the vibration. And it's the first time we've been that close to that. We went into a place that we have not been before. And the reason that we're so eager to go there is because it ties in so powerfully with the reason for your existence to begin with. You didn't come into this environment as flawed and inferior with some quest to catch up with something that had already attained a higher vibration. We are the leading edge of vibrational expression, always reaching for the new vantage point. And there is not as much comparison between the right vantage points and the wrong vantage points as humans want to make out. You get a sense of what we're getting at? So now bring us back to where you were headed. We've taken you a little off track, but not really.
It seems as though the higher you are on the vibrational scale, the more connected with source you are, and the more connected with source you are, the more aware that you are the creator of your reality, all of it.
Well, certainly, the better you are feeling, the more you are allowing that broader perspective to flow through you, and therefore the more conscious creator you would be.
So the more conscious creator you would be, the more desire would flow through you, so you would want to feel better?
Well, that's where it goes tricky, because the thing that's interesting about that is that in the greater contrast, the greater desires are born. So what we are hearing from you, and what we sort of want to lay to rest here a little bit, is we don't, and it happens as we talk about the science of deliberate creation, we see people get all worried about their thought and determined that they're going to be always in the most positive place on the emotional scale. And we want you instead to just be aware of where you are on the emotional scale, always with the quest of doing what you can to improve where you are on the emotional scale. But we don't want to make it sound like we think, because we don't, that bliss is the bliss and only bliss is necessarily the perfect creative environment, because out of the contrast is born the stronger desire. So everyone gets to choose how much variance they are willing to tolerate between what they want and where they are. Let's play that out a little further, because it really is central to what you're asking. So people who are living exaggerated contrast are giving birth to exaggerated desires. But the problem with the exaggerated contrast is that it's unlikely in their lifetime, it's possible, but unlikely, that they will be able to achieve vibrational alignment with the desires that they gave birth to. Do you know it's a very common thing that your generation will be the receiver of desires that were launched by previous generations? Because the previous generations were so bogged down in the contrast that gave birth to the desires that they never in their lifetime figure out how to let their own desires into their own lifetime. They have to sort of die and forget their resistance, and the new generation with less resistance then becomes the recipients of what was launched. It is an evolutional process, but it's not the evolutional process that if we were standing in your physical body, we would be reaching for. We would want to be the livers and receivers of our own rockets of desires, you see. This is good, isn't it? So, greater contrast causes greater desire. But you've got to be somewhere in the proximity of the desire that you've given birth to before you can be the receiver of it. So we think that there is a happy medium. That's how Jerry refers to Esther. She is a happy medium. We think that there is a happy medium. And what that is enough contrast that I'm not bored, and enough contrast that I'm giving birth to new ideas, but not so much variance between where I am and my new idea that I can't, in a reasonable amount of time, work my way up the vibrational scale and become a match to it. And now I'm standing in a new set of contrasting experiences, which gives birth to yet another new rocket of desire, and it's further than where I am, but it's not so far that I can't easily catch up with it, and so now there's another manifestation. And we think that that is, if we were standing in your physical shoes, the ideal experience. Now we will answer the question that you've laid before us. There is no end to the improvement that you can find from wherever you are. And when you stop comparing where you are to where anybody else is, then you really become that conscious creator who can then really infinitely and intricately feel the delicious nuances of the next new idea that you have given birth to, you see. Oh. Creating at its best, when you finally get it, that it's all about me bringing the energy of me into alignment. It's all about me letting my life help me to establish what I want that I'm not yet up to speed with, and then me deliberately get myself up to speed with and have the delicious, joyous experience of feeling myself coming into alignment with it. It's orgasmic in nature to want something and to come into alignment with it. And then the manifestation of it is just a brief point of pleasure, and then the contrast starts the process all over again. So when you get it that you never get it done, and you accept, you make peace with the idea that there will always be things that are incomplete, but you're no longer unhappy about what's not complete because you understand that those incomplete ideas are drawing life through you, and you've got your ear to the ground, you're feeling the vibration of your experience, and you're bringing yourself in every conversation closer and closer into vibrational alignment with what you want, and you feel the ease begin to wash through you, and then you begin to feel the joy begin to wash through you, and then you begin to feel the alignment, and then wild horses can't keep you from it, and then the impulse to act is so powerful, the inspiration that is moving from within is so powerful, and then you say, ah, now what? No end to it, you say. No end. No end to the contrast, no end to the new idea, no end to the effort of alignment, no end to the satisfaction of the effort of alignment, no end to the ecstasy of the manifestation of the alignment, no end to the new perspective, no end to the new contrast, no end to the birth of the new idea, no end to the contrasting vibration between the new idea and where I am, no end to the effort of alignment, no end to the joy to the effort of alignment, no end to the new manifestation because of the new alignment, no end to the new perspective, no end to the new contrasting experience, no end to the new idea that is born from it, no end to the awareness now, the conscious awareness that I'm not in alignment. But now I'm not mad at myself about not being in alignment because I understand it's part of the process. I understand that I want something that I'm not up to speed with, but it doesn't make me bad and it doesn't make it not possible. It just means my work is just laid out before me again. My joyful work of coming into alignment. This is the way I mold the clay. You never see a sculptor take a big clump of clay and splat it down on the table and then complain, oh, it didn't turn out right. He wants to get his hands in it. He wants to work to make it look like the image in his mind. And that's what all of this creative endeavor is about, you see.
Well, one of my favorite sayings is the journey is the destination. And it sounds like essentially you're reaffirming that. Manifestations are just a focal point for flowing the energy.
Never been stated more accurately.
Thank you.
The destination is my inspiration to flow the energy, and the flowing the energy is life. Yes.
Why do we leave to embody a physical, a material existence when we come from all that is and we're in vibrational harmony with that on whatever level of existence that is?
And well, that's the key, isn't it? In other words, it's hard to, from your physical perspective, understand anything other than what is physical. We're going to offer some words here to try to help you to understand that everything that you see as physical reality is nothing more than vibration that is being interpreted into a physical reality. So there is really not much difference between non-physical and physical, because everything that we are in non-physical, we can experience as you do in your physical format. It's just vibrational interpretation. Esther noticed as she visited with her father after he made his transition from his physical form back into non-physical form, his description of what he was doing and his life experience let Esther understand that he was still interpreting his life through the format that she understands here in the physical form. In other words, he was joyful and he was having lovely experiences, but he was describing places, not non-places. He was describing people and faces, not energy. He was describing things in a similar way that he would have been describing him if he had been sitting across the room from Esther. And it made Esther realize that wherever you are having an experience that must be understood through some framework. And mm-hmm. whatever framework it is you are understanding it through is the reality that you are living. So in our effort to help you to understand the differences between the physical life that you live, which you understand pretty well, and the non-physical part of you, it's very difficult to even make that distinction without causing some sort of separation or distortion in your minds.
Do you have laws, do you have like spiritual laws at that level that are like our laws here of manifestation and allowing, and also like our physical laws of whatever, gravity, thermodynamics?
Well, there are definitely vibrational universal laws, not gravity in the sense that we are on a sphere as you are, but certainly the universal laws such as law of attraction. But most of what you mean as laws are means to control one another, and most laws are orchestrated or written from the perspective of disconnection. From the non-physical point of view that we hold, where we know our power and we understand not only our own power but the power of everyone else, there is no desire or attempt at controlling one another. We trust law of attraction all of that.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a sense of your plane.
Well, the best existence. Way to get a sense of what it's like for us is to get joyful and let us flow through you. Mm-hmm. That really is what we're trying to say to you. We are not separate from you unless you're an ornery toad. In other words, in your orneriness, you separate yourself from us, but we are not separate from you. Mm-hmm. In your unhappiness, you separate yourself from us, but we are not separate from you. And so everything that you would consider to be the best of life, we're right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is perceptual. It's, mm-hmm. There is no reality other than that which is perceptual. That is the most powerful thing that we want you to hear. We're looking at you to make sure you write that down. There is no reality other than what is perceived. And the reality that is perceived has to be tinged, if you will, by the perceiver that is perceiving them. And so the non-physical part of you is a joyful, expansive, open, free-flying, loving, knowing, secure, understanding own worthiness being. And when you're looking through those eyes, it's a bright, beautiful world. When you look through the eyes of inferiority, you see a different world. When you look through the eyes of powerlessness or loss of freedom, you see a very different world. But all of that is self-imposed as human looks. Jerry and Esther are at a park with their monster bus, and Jerry pointed out to Esther that there was a very large, very lovely cat on a leash. And as soon as Esther realized it was on a leash, she said, "Oh, I think in the night I will set it free." And Jerry said, "It's probably not out there in the night for you to set it free." And then Esther thought about how she would feel if she had a very lovely cat that she was trying to keep in her own life and someone set it free. And of course, she was not really planning on setting it free, but she just longed for it to be set free. And then she watched the cat, and the cat was really not yanking at the end of its chain as Esther would have if she were the cat chained. The cat seemed to understand its limits and would run very, very fast, almost to the end of its chain, and then it would stop and look around as if to say to Esther and Jerry, "I know how long this rope is." And we want to say to Esther that the cat certainly has the potential of making itself miserable at the end of this chain, but it is not making itself miserable. In other words, Esther is superimposing how she would feel if she were on a leash over how the cat feels. And the cat feels differently on the leash than Esther would feel on the leash. It's just not possible to step into someone else's perspective and understand it. And that's the trouble with trying to understand what is non-physical through your physical eyes. Mm-hmm. There just aren't enough words. And it seems that every word we offer conjures some sort of picture that causes human to make an even greater distortion of their understanding than was there before.
I get that.
Yeah. So try to feel what your inner being feels like. Mm-hmm. That is the truest sense of what non-physical is like. Non-physical is clearly an experience, and it is absolutely a feeling. Mm-hmm. And it feels like expansion and freedom and love and joy. And it is an extremely interesting experience. But you cannot accurately, and here is the answer to the question that we know you're asking, you cannot accurately define what it's like to be non-physical unless you are including the physical in the explanation. Because we see through your eyes, we smell through your nose, we experience through you. You are the leading edge of that which we are, you see.
How does the manifestation and creation of all of, I mean, what you could call small wants, like a material this and that, or a bigger material this and that, how is that leading edge? How does that advance all that is by us attaining these small things on a material level?
Well, first we would say that we do not see anything as small, because everything...
I knew you'd say that.
We knew you knew. Everything is incremental. Everything is. Everything is incremental. Nothing is other than incremental, because everything is moving from the point that it is, and nothing can move from a point that it isn't. So everything is incremental. Small things, the material things, are not the main event. It is the exposure to experience and the subsequent improvement in experience. The things are just the staging or the enhancement of the experience, and they are representative of the vibration, but it is the experience that life is really all about.
Mm-hmm. I know you know me, and I've wanted to get to know you better. Thus my questions.
You cannot know us apart from yourself.
Yeah.
We are the greatest joy that you know. We are the greatest clarity that you feel. We are the feeling of vitality and balance. We are the feeling of expansion. In other words, you know us through your emotional center. And that is the only way that anyone can know anyone or anything, isn't it?
Yes.
You know the absence of us, that's too strong of a word. You know when we are fully within you. You know when you are vibrationally different from us.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the warmth of us, you feel the closeness of us or the absence of us. Let it be the feeling experience that it is meant to be. That's why your emotions guide you, not your thoughts, not your brain, mm-hmm. not some meter, your emotions.